years ago, and it was a very important time when she started wearing earplugs because she's like a mom with like super hearing. And out of curiosity, does anyone else here wear earplugs at night? Melissa, you wear earplugs at night? And he snores. He snores. Any other one wear? Bob doesn't believe it, but we can get some video evidence later on if we want to. That'd be great. Yeah. Does any other one wear earplugs? Does anyone else wear? Yeah. Jan, you wear earplugs? You used to. What happened?
It threw my jaw off.
Oh, it threw your jaw off. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that would be bad. Probably stop wearing them. Anyone else? It's weird because I don't know many guys that wear earplugs, and I think it's because we have a really, we have a unique way of being selective in our hearing, right? I think that's the reason why. Our whole thing started years ago when Heather started wearing earplugs because we had a rule in our house, you know, when kids were born, I would be the one to go and get the baby in the middle of the night in order to do the feedings in bed, and Heather's not very steady on her feet at night, so I got, like, she would wake me up because the baby would cry, I would hear nothing, and then she would have to wake me up, and then I would go and get the baby. And we had one of those, like, little baby monitors, right? Everyone still has those, right? And we invented then. And so it was just sound. And I remember there was one night specifically where I get this elbow in my ribs. Mark, the baby. I'm like, what, the baby? Oh, okay. So I get up and I stumble into the other room and I look down and I'm about to grab Mark Thomas and he's full on asleep. And I'm like, oh, okay. I think we're fine. I'm going back to bed. So I walk back, climb back into bed. I don't know how much later because I was out. And then I didn't hear a thing, but all of a sudden, another elbow, Mark, the baby. So I stumble in, and I look down, and there's Mark Thomas. He is out. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? And so I went back to bed, and I did the hardest thing I've ever done, which is to try to stay awake. And I was like slapping myself, and I got toothpicks in here, and I'm trying to just stay awake. And as I was sitting there, it was dead quiet. All of a sudden, I heard a tiny, like, Russell. Mark, the baby. Rolled over. Very, very quiet. And all of a sudden, Mark, the baby. And I'm like, what in the world? How is your superhuman hearing? And so from then on out, Heather has always had to wear earplugs. I think what Heather hears with earplugs in is what most guys hear at night anyway. We don't hear anything. I was thinking about that, especially in this. I want to apply it in a different way. And that is because I think that too many people listen to all the wrong voices. And that I think having a young mother's life are really super important. I tell this a lot to young mothers, right? They have babies. And what is it about a mom and her baby that brings out unsolicited? Because the mother's absolutely everybody. Have you noticed that? And I've had to tell, you know, because all the mothers would be like, well, you should do this, or well, you should do this, or well, you should do this. My dad was notorious. We're like, we literally just changed it 5 minutes ago. Nope, babies, it's wet. I could get, dad, it's not. I'm telling you, that's not his. I'm uncomfortable with the wet diaper cry. I'm annoyed at life. Listen to you. Cry. No, you got. And finally, we just had to tune him out and say, we're not going to listen to you. I think that the voices that we often hear in life are trying to bring us away from the topic of what in the, which is why 1 John, he returns back to a topic of what in the NIV they've put as the heading, testing of the spirits. And in a different, the last time we did this, if you remember, was when we were talking about Antichrists on Mother's Day, and that, you know, moms are not the Antichrist, as best we could tell. And so this now, we're testing the Spirit's voices. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the Spirit. Now, I believe that what John is truly saying is for us about how to learn to spot cults. We talked about this. Any church that has a skewed view of Jesus. I think also this can apply, especially as we listen to people in our lives. If you hear someone telling you, you are ugly, I know you're going to say, well, I just say no. Well, yeah, but part of you hears it though, doesn't it? Or someone tells you, I don't want to hear things from that, and we start learning that maybe we are unlovable, we are unlikable, no one wants to be around us. We have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and what we hear from that is, I'm not worthy of being loved. John, as he continues on, it ties in with verse 7 and beyond. God is extremely important for all Christians. Do you ever have a dream and you wonder, was that dream from God? Or a leaning towards something and you're like, is God leading me, or is it my own evil heart leading me? Is it just my desires? Is it the peer pressure around me? What is leading my help us understand of how to test the spirits and learning how we then respond to them. So verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. And the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Oh, I heard a guy on the radio. Is this, and he claims to be a Christian. Is he actually a Christian? Are the words that he is teaching Christian? The easy test is, what do you say about Jesus? He came into this world, died, rose again, and is ruling and reigning right now with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That is good. But we always have to make sure that we're testing everything wholesale, and then we don't become critical afterwards. I try to remind you of this frequently, but I make a lot of mistakes in life. And there are times that I say or do things frailty. You should be testing everything I say, everything. Do not for at all believe everything I say. What I'm saying matching with the Word of God is what I'm saying honoring God and lifting up Jesus Christ. If I slip and say something incorrect, you should all be stopping in your mind. We need to be a lot more critical. But even more importantly is learning about what it means to have the love of God. And this is where I think things are. If you are told that you are a jerk, well, you might be a jerk. You might be doing something that's really jerky, and maybe someone is trying to correct you, and your bringing is having a detriment upon your life, and you need to be told, hey, you really need to correct yourself. But how do we know? The question is, what you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is. Stuff that is being told to you is helping you grow closer to God than it is from God. If what you are being told from God, that's the simple test. What does it do to your relationship with God? You start dating someone. As you start dating that person, what happens? Do you feel closer to God because of it? Or does that relationship drag you down and pull you away from God? If it pulls you away from God, if you have a dream, wants me to do something, ask yourself the question, does this improve and grow my relationship with God, or is what I am about to walking in a different path? God says the right stuff. If you believe because of other people that you are unlovable, because what does God say? Precious in my sight that I'll actually send my son to die on your behalf. That's how much I love you. Am I worthy? Am I worthy of receiving love? You might start feeling like something is wrong with you. And if you start feeling that way, and it starts causing you to maybe not want to participate in worship, it's not from God. Don't listen to it. Put in the earplugs and say no. This is what he's talking about in verse 5. They are from the world and therefore speak, listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we... I think we need to be more discriminate in the voices that we allow inside of our head. We need to stop looking out for our best interests. And if you ever have an issue come up and it starts to pull you away from God, then you need to just simply stop going to college, or you just have it happen in your life. Everything that pulls you away from God is not from God, because God is love. And that's why he then goes on, continuing one another. For love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Heather started clear. There's a little echo on that. For love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born. And that's the, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect. That's exactly the camp song. It's a wonderful thing. I was reading this, and I started to wonder something, because we've talked about love. If you receive love in return, it just simply says love. It doesn't say love one another if the person is nice to you. It just says love. And I started to realize that I think a lot of people... For instance, if I asked anyone here, does anyone here have a dollar bill? Anyone have a dollar bill? This is not a magic trick or anything. I'm not going to like shred it up and be like, "Poof, there's your magic." Don't have dollar bills. That's crazy. Like, I don't know how that's possible. All right, so you got a dollar bill. Who here has pocket lint? Lint in your pocket. You could pull anyone. Anyone? Yeah, I got a lot of with you right here, right now. Right, oh, right, she's like, yes, right here. I bring it to church every Sunday. Does anyone here have a Mickey Mantle rookie card here with a what? So, yeah. do you have it right here, right now? I think that one of the problems that we have is, if you don't have it, how can you give it? A lot of people, you can't give what you don't have. This is the reason why I think a lot of people end up putting God-like requirements on the people around them. If I am not nourished in my relationship with God, if I don't understand God's grace and love and mercy and forgiveness, and I start looking to my wife to love me like God, now people do that. They expect that their spouse is God. Same thing also happens when you're in a dating relationship. I want to find someone who who's going to love me unconditionally. And they don't exist, man. I'm telling you, all the stuff that you want, someone has already given, looking for others to fill what God already has. Now, if you are looking for a relationship that is messy and sometimes bad, lots of those people around. The person, but when you enter into those relationships knowing that the person is not God, you now can actually love them better. You don't end up having your relationship be contractual. The only way to give love is to receive love. For instance, at the children's message, if after you gave those Hershey kisses away, and I said, can I have a Hershey Kiss. One of those three could have walked over and handed it to me. But prior to receiving it, could they have given me anything? No. If you want solid, stable relationships, if you want relationships that are built on proper love, the first place that you need to receive love is from God Himself. Only God can love you perfectly. Only God will never fail. Only God will always think about you 24/7. If you start putting those requirements on relationships here in this world, you will find out you are looking for love in the wrong place. To relationship, because you are looking for love in the wrong place. Only God can fill that. And you yourself will be loving because you don't have love to give. Verse 10, he keeps hitting this. This is love. Sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So this answers the question, how does it work when it comes to having a relationship with God? Is it something that, you know, simultaneous, we're like, oh, hey, I like you, you like me, this is really great. Life, since the beginning of time. And he has loved you with a perfect love, even when you've rejected it, even when you've walked away from it, even though you can continually loves you like no other. And if you cannot come to God without God coming to you first. Disciples, and you think that you're my disciples because you've chosen me, because that's often how it'll happen as rabbis. Someone's like, oh, I like the way this rabbi teaches. I think this is wonderful teaching. I think I will follow. Actually, if you come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's because Jesus Christ chose you first. He says, you think that you're my disciples because you chose me, but I chose from another book that John wrote, the Gospel of John. So knowing that God loves us allows us to love God. We cannot love God without God. And when you start putting contractual love onto God, be very careful. I understand when we do it in real life to my wife and I, sometimes we give each other like that. But this is, I always like to get my back rub first. Now, why is that? Because after she's worked on me and she's like, she's giving me, and she's thinking the whole time as she's rubbing my back, she's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so good. Oh, I'm going to give him a little bit of extra because this is going to be wonderful, and he's going to give this to me, and she's needing, and I'm just sitting there and there's drool coming down here and I got the eye twitch that's going on and I'm like, this is wonderful. And then afterwards, she's finally finished, and then what do? And then she's like, where's my back rub? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Honey, here you go. That's contractual. God does not do that with you. But we do it with God. How do we do it with God? From going, you sometimes refrain from going to church because things are not going your way. And the action, lose the desire to pray and the action of praying because a tragedy just happened in your life. Struggling in sin is the first place you rush to, is to the foot of Jesus and church to hear once again the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. Case, then the love you have for God is contractual. If your devotion to him is only based upon how much he blesses you, your love is contractual. I've done something really dumb. It happens once or twice. And she looks at me and she says, I love you. And I think about how that is at that moment because of my shame and my guilt. But then she shows me grace and mercy. I can tell you the only reason she can do that is because God did it for her like a half a time. The only reason I can do it to her, she's only like, it's only been like a half a time that she's done anything bad. The only reason I can do anything to give grace and mercy, our love for others is supposed to reflect God's love. I'm going to say it. Hopefully it's okay. Heather got into an interesting discussion. I started scrolling through Facebook, and hopefully the person's not watching. Hey, I'm looking for a great place for a mani-pedi, right? And so everyone's like, oh, well, go here or go here. Or I'm looking for, you know, someone that only charges $200 for a 3-bedroom apartment. You're like, well, yeah, you're never going to find it. So someone, every now and then we get stuff like, it's pretty cool. So apparently this morning someone posted up, I'm in search for a church that is not big, saying, I've tried East Side and I want something a little smaller. Right? And so she posts on there, she's like, you should check us out, Searchlight Ministries. And the question that was asked was, do you have an old-style service. Okay. So Heather responded something to the tune of, well, our worship service is contemporary nature. It has a weakness. And this was the response back. Why are you answering questions I didn't ask? I'm wondering, for someone who's 90 years old, and I read this, and I so badly wanted to hop on there and say, she did answer your question, you cow. What's wrong with you? This is the sinful part of me. Because I'm like, how dare you? And thankfully, I didn't. But Heather responded in such a way, because does this person deserve a kind response? And that person needs love, because you could tell that this is someone that doesn't quite understand to love, even if you don't get what you want. I hope you find... God bless you in your search. With angry eyes. No. Do we love people just because they are nice to us? Oh, man, this gets hard, doesn't it? You post something on the internet, put something on Facebook, and right before you hit send, you should ask the question, is this loving? God says we should love because God loved us. Have we ever been jealous that everyone else seems to have blessings, but we don't? Do we ever get angry because of sicknesses we encounter? We've all done it. But when we receive God's grace and love, my buddy Dave wrote a song, and it's a great song. It's called I Got Into an Argument on Facebook and I Won, which is a tongue-in-cheek thing about how too many times, is that where it's supposed to come out? It's out for everyone to see. Start thinking about the relationships you have. Do you treat others with the love that God shows, and that I only love because of me? That's incorrect. God is the only one who loves you in spite of who you are. I say things like, but it's not fair. Absolutely, it's not fair. But they should really know they should, but sometimes they don't. We can only give what we get. And learning how to be kind to others in the face of being mistreated is an example in Jesus Christ, who was falsely accused, who was put on trial in a horrible way, with false witnesses coming forward, his sentence data, and Jesus deserved none of it. And we ask the question, why? Why did Jesus do that? So sometimes that is going to happen in life. Learning how to love others is really, really hard. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God back into this in us, and his love is made complete in us. How do we bring God back into the schools? Teach our children to love. How do we bring God back into the governments? Only the ones I agree with, though, because the others are horrible human beings. No, it's all of them. That's how we see God work. Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Now, we know and rely on the love God has for us. Now, one of the things that God's love does, he's going to start going into, which is extremely important. God is love. Whoever lives in him in love, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this we are fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, are you afraid of spider snakes? Nicole got freaked out. She's like, is there such thing as a spider snake? I Googled it. Apparently, there is a spider snake, and it's really freaky looking. I think that there's certain fears that we have in life which are healthy, such as, why would you jump out of a plane even if you're wearing a parachute? It makes no sense. There's a fear, like you are going to hit the ground and die, so fear protects. Even like when, you know, people like show videos of themselves and it's just a little square on a screen, I'm watching this video, I still get the like sickness. Oh my God. Oh no, that's not good. And I guess, yeah, now fears of heights, fear of snakes, right? You know, that way, oh, here's a snake, reach out, bite, die, you know, you have a fear. God's love doesn't all of a sudden make you feel comfortable bungee jumping have in life that have to do with love. Who here is afraid? Don't raise your hand. Who here is afraid that they're going to be alone for the rest of their life? You're one single person love you. Or you have a tragedy hit. Maybe it's the death of a spouse or the death of a parent, or maybe it's a job loss, a job, other skills other than that, and there doesn't seem to be any openings. Do you fear that the pain you are feeling now is going to last forever? Do you fear what other people think of you? Do you worry that certain people are talking about you behind you? These are real. But perfect love, and the definition of perfect love is the love that comes from God. He's the only one that can do it. Perfect love drives out that fear. You will not be alone. You might have felt alone. You might have despaired because of what's happening, but there has been never a time that God has left your side. You might say, will someone ever leave? And that love drives out fear. I have found out that for so many people, once they understand the love of God, those fears start melting away and they stop obsessing about fixing something in the earthly realm because they know they're going to survive. You're facing a death in the family and things are going to be so different. Will you survive? Will the pain in my heart ever? Because God will always be with you. Through all of the garbage you've done, through all of the garbage that has happened to you, from all the people who are nasty on Facebook, to all those people who are nasty in real life, you are not worthy of anything. All of that is driven away because God loves you. There's nothing else you ever get out of knowing God is love, and he loves you. And that is all the love you need. It's great when we experience that contractual love and that grace and mercy that have. It can be driven out. If you are afraid because you're worried you will always be alone, always be abandoned, always have pain, turn to God. And verse 19, we love because he first loved us. We cannot give what we don't have. You cannot love without having that love with you. Because when you have God's love in your heart, look, he is a liar. These are good words, right? It helps. Because all of a sudden you realize, wow, my heart is evil and it needs reform. My heart is desperately wicked. Your brother, and you say you love God, that is incorrect. I will probably guess that the love that you have for God then at that point is contractual. You only love God when you feel blessed. You only love an unmerited. That means when others hurt you, harm you, wrong you, and you respond back, that's contractual. But when you respond back with love and grace and mercy, you will watch as people's hearts and minds happen in my own life. Probably one of the best examples was one time I was at a church, not this one, and I did something in the worship service that someone did not like. Happens a lot. Loaded on me at church. And they were like, I am so greatly offended. How dare you do this? And I was just like, oh, wow. Like, you know, that is truly and utterly only from God. Because as you know me, sometimes I can be a smart aleck. It happens on occasion, not often. That happens all the time. And I was able to look at this person and with genuine love in my heart and see, said, I'm so sorry. That was not my intention. I can see what happened, and I promise you that it won't happen again. And it was so amazing because this person had like demon eyes, right? And they were looking at me and they were so angry. And it was so crazy because I think what they were wanting was a fight. Now, I'm good at fighting. I can spar with you if you want. But it was so crazy because when I responded in love, what happened? Boom. He was like, oh, well, okay. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate you very much. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, you were just like angry. It is amazing when we respond in love. That's how we are to respond to others. So if you say you love God and you hate your brother, try it again. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. This is God's word, not mine. So if you don't like it, have words with God. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's our marching orders. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us that our love has often become contractual. Forgive us because we often put requirements on others that only you can fulfill. Only you can love us perfectly. Only you can love us unconditionally. Only you can love us in such a way that even when we mess up, you are still there. And we often expect that from everyone else in this world, but that's just absolutely wrong. But then also, Lord, we need help because we have a problem that we don't often love others as you have loved us. We're like that nasty servant who has been forgiven so much and then sees his brother and then in revenge, and you say, no. Love them. And maybe it's because we really haven't received your love. We haven't really understood what that means. Maybe we're me. I don't understand why. And then I hear your gentle voice saying, I think you're supposed to love them. And then I go and I test the spirits and I realize it's from you. In a negative way, I want to test that spirit. Is that from you? Are you asking me to exact revenge? Are you asking me to get justice? Are you asking me to respond in kind? And I realize that is not the world that responds in those ways. May we respond in love. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. May we bound and love this world that is so broken and filled with such hurting people. I pray that they would know your love and receive it because we have the chance to give to them. Amen.